get it done, you gotta stop procrastinating.
It's time to be creative.
I realized that life is a lot more about the journey.
Experience amazing.
Sometimes you just need to pick up and go.
Get out there and see everything you're missing.
Welcome to
it's finding lost.
The ability to just go. Just get off your ass and experience
everything.
Life. Welcome.
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 You're finding lost. With Daniel Chipman.
And Omer Hall, back from jail,
yeah. The
official jail cast.
Oh, post-jail, it feels good to be free.
Brought to you by freedom.
Oh my God, it feels so fucking good.
Yeah. Were you out for the 4th?
No, I was in for the 4th.
Yeah.
I didn't get out till, what was it, it was a week. Today's been a week, because it was last
Full
Monday.
Full week out.
Oh yeah, oh, it's been... thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, friends and family. Everyone who donated. Everyone who helped me. Yeah. Oh, my God. It was an experience. It was definitely... it makes you grateful for the sun being on your skin. It makes you grateful for just walking from one room to another, not having to be escorted by a lock and a key and a guard and being able to shit and piss, not in front of 9 other guys.
You right. Know, that's got to be horrible. How many people were in your cell?
8 other guys. So it was like a 9-man cell, and then at one point we had 2 cots brought in, and then the guy had to like sleep right by the shitter, another guy had to sleep right next to him, so it was like, it's just overpacked.
That's pretty sizable then,
yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah, it was.
Or is it still packed? It's still packed,
Packed, I mean, there's
9 people and
oh my God, yeah, that's it. You stay in your bunk most of the time, you know, you got room to stretch, and you know, if you time it out right, you know, most of the guys like to sleep until like 2 p.m., so I would get up at noon so I could watch some TV and, you know, pick what I want to watch. And then I'd also just go pace around and do my stretching and shit. But, yeah, it's cramped. It makes you appreciate the freedom. You know, it's just you don't know what you got until it's gone.
Sure.
You know, that's really it. You don't know how much you appreciate your family.
How many days did you end up being in there?
21 days.
21 days.
Yeah, 3 weeks almost exactly. Oh, 20 days technically. So, yeah, it was like almost 3 weeks exactly.
Yeah, oh, yeah, man. I did some learning.
Lots of time to think, lots of time to rehabilitate, and lots of time to just, you know, get sober, you know, no fucking weed for, and then now it's almost day, 29 or 28 or something like that. So, you know, it's
not officially sober.
Well, not
but,
sober,
you know.
But in my definition of sober,
cheers,
it's the sober of no weed, no weed for me. Because I got drunk this last weekend, but I didn't fucking do anything else. I've been off the Mountain Dew. I just started smoking cigs again, unfortunately, but that's just stress in my life. So that's how
right.
It goes. You know, I can't quit everything and I'm not going to.
So have you emerged like a butterfly? What's on the new docket?
Just docket. That's funny you say that. It's all docket numbers that the child support shit goes off of and stuff like that. But no, it's just job, money, family. That's a priority. And then obviously just chasing my goals still. You know, I don't want to give up on YouTube. I don't want to give up on entertaining people and all that good shit. But it is it's the feeling of prioritizing and flipping everything. Because before I would do the Facebook Live and Facebook shit and just be... That was my main concern. Oh, I better get a YouTube video out today. I better do this. Now,
better have something out there.
Yeah, compared to now, it's like, I better clean my house and take care of my family first and make sure the dishes are done and just simple shit like that that I was taking for granted. You know, I wasn't doing laundry and cleaning the house, even though I'm the stay-at-home dad, basically the stay-at-home mom. That's kind of my job. I'm
there
to,
man.
Like,
you got Mr. Mom it.
Yes,
gotta
exactly.
Own that
oh,
shit.
Yeah, that's it. I got to fucking, you know. So the priority shifted, you know, instead of doing Facebook first and then get to that when I can, it's get everything done in my house, get all the chores and things taken care of. And then when I got time, oh, baby's down for a nap. Now I can Facebook Live. Now I can go work on my YouTube. But I haven't even, you know, I released the grunts and groans today. But other than that, there's really nothing. It's just been the priorities of thinking and just one thing at a time. Get a job so I can pay my child support. That's the number one thing. Get a job so I can make some money to pay the people back that bailed me out. It's just my priorities have shifted from being sober, you know. I used to be just high all the day, all the time, all day from morning to noon, you know, from morning to night. I just wanted to smoke weed because I thought that was the only way to be happy, you know. And now that I got my family taken away from me, like going up north, it was like, holy shit, I got to go up north this last weekend. I got to be sober and clear headed. I mean, obviously I had some beers, you know, fucking Saturday night or whatever, but it was the appreciation. I could appreciate my family, my nephew and my niece, and go ride quads with them and do this and that and not have to be high in order to enjoy that. You know, it's the feeling of I could enjoy this just how it is. I don't
right.
need to enjoy it after I'm high.
Well,
I'm
sure you get
to...
a new sense of, you know, when you're independent, when you're free again, mm-hmm. especially having it stripped away, it's kind of its own high. It's like a new appreciation.
It is a new lease on life. You
yeah.
know, it really is. And that's me. It doesn't mean everyone needs to go get locked up so you can appreciate life. You can just... You know, that's my experience. So it feels like I needed to go to jail in order to get my head straight. You know, even though jail is not a fun place and there was a lot of fucking shit and a lot of bullshit of listening to idiots
talk right. About I'm sure a lot you just hear a lot shit. Of ignorance spewed. Oh, my and God. It, what it does is it probably just it forces you to be held accountable and reflect.
It wears on your soul. You know, being a person like myself and being intelligent and taking responsibility for my actions and shit like that, which obviously I wasn't being that responsible by not paying child support. But it also taught me that I'm not really a criminal. You know, yes, I'm a criminal in this person's eyes, or the judge even told me, well, you just can't be a stay-at-home dad and just play Xbox all day. It's like, okay, well, I wasn't just playing Xbox all day, but I can see where you're coming from. I'm not living up to my manly duties of doing this and doing that, but it is still the feeling of like, fuck, I didn't have my priorities straight whatsoever. You know, it is about money. It is about taking care of people. And I understand that now, because before it was just, I was so self-loathing. It was that self-loathing that made me lack ambition, to lack motivation.
Well, right. And again, with the ignorance, I'm sure you're just hearing a lot of bull crap that you're like, I don't belong here.
No.
You know?
And, but then it's that feeling of like, I'm not a piece of shit like these guys. But then you look around, you're like, wait, where am I at though?
And
I'm
why
in jail.
Am I here?
I'm in yeah. jail with these guys. So obviously I can't be that good. I can't be not a piece of shit. I'm obviously kind of an idiot piece of shit if I'm stuck in a cell with idiot pieces of shit, so-called. But they're not pieces of shit. They're just, they're stuck in this mental system or this mental stagnation of like, this is all I know and I don't want to better myself. That's what my observation was. None of them want to rehabilitate themselves. And in the jail system, there's not a whole lot of rehabilitation. You go to church if you want to. Once
right. It's
every
it's more
Sunday.
Or less. It's like you have to do if you want to rehabilitate. You have to rehabilitate yourself.
Yes.
You
and
have
I was the only one doing it. I read books. I jotted down in my journal. I ordered a legal pad the first thing I could. You know, on the commissary, you can fucking get money on your account. And you order. They got a whole list, but they make a killing on that shit. Charging you $3 for a bag of M&Ms and stuff like that. And
$3 a pack of M&Ms.
Yep.
Makes you. So what was like the meals like?
The meals.
Are they absolutely horrible?
It's cereal every day. Every morning. It's basically you get fed at 6 a.m. breakfast. Noon comes lunch. And then dinner is around 4 p.m. 4 p.m. is dinner. So you don't get fed until 6 a.m. the next day. So you go 14 hours without any food. So a lot of the times I would save my lunch. Wouldn't even eat my lunch because I'm not hungry after I just ate cereal.
What would
cereal.
Be like a typical lunch?
A sandwich, and then you get
like a sandwich that's
a
so vague.
What course kind of meal?
Tell me about this sandwich.
You get a bologna sandwich one day. We had sloppy joes the other day. We had fucking beef stroganoff. We had spaghetti. We had things of that nature. But it's like the worst version of all of those fucking meals ever.
Like elementary school, a cafeteria.
Elementary school square rectangular pizza. That's yeah. dry and hard.
Now, is that dinner?
Yes. Oh, that was the lunch a lot of the time. The dinners. It's just, it's hit or miss. You know, a lot of the time the guys were expecting, oh, there's supposed to be soup today and there's no soup. And, oh, we're supposed to get grilled cheese. No, they don't go. They go according to a plan, but they
this
don't
is about
a
expired
fuck.
Or expired.
Yeah. So yeah, the pickles are nasty. I didn't eat a lot of the shit. That's how I lost 20 pounds in a matter of a week or two, because the first week or two, I lost 20 pounds. I went in at 195. And then when the nurse, after 2 weeks of being incarcerated, they come and they pull you out. They take you to the nurse's station. It's a 2 week kind of thing. They gave me a TB test. They took my weight. They ask you a bunch of questions on the questionnaire, and basically you just say no to everything. Have you ever had this? Do you have that? Do you have a history of diabetes? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I had to tell them, yeah, my teeth are bad. But other than that, it's like I just say no, 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 no. But it's just they don't give a shit. You know, they do what they got to do, but it's not a, you know, like that was the number one concern I had, or the number one irritation I had, is these guys in there talking like, well, I don't know how they can do this, like fucking up the lunches, just for example. Well, they're supposed to do this. And I'm like, dude, you're in jail. Yeah, they don't give a fuck. What do you mean?
The guards got your hopes up that you were going to have soup today.
Yeah. And but that's all someone in jail has to look forward to. You know,
sure.
There's one guy in there that he's technically institutionalized because he's been incarcerated for 20 years out of his 37 years. He went to prison like one or two times, but it is only for like a 2 year stint. But other than that, his other 20 years was spent in the county jail, 6 months at a time, 9 months, a year at a time. And he is technically institutionalized. So they're playing cards and they're like getting butthurt about playing cards because they gamble their meals. They play spades. That's the number one game in jail. You play spades. It's almost like euchre, but it's spades, and spades are trumped the whole time and you use the whole deck and it just goes accordingly to you make bids and this.
Sure.
It's kind of complicated, but it's not. And then they would just get butthurt. So I stopped playing cards. I was like, I played cards with them the first couple of times. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. Kills the time, passes the time. But then they're, dead set. Yeah. I know cards are a game. Games aren't that serious
to me.
No,
there, man. That's serious. Oh. Mm-hmm. Serious stuff. This is life.
Hey. Fights breaking out because of fucking cards. Fights breaking out because of meals and this and that. And fights breaking out over this guy touched this guy's feet in his sleep. shit like that.
Right, and that's the last thing you want to do is get in a fight, because that's what, add more time?
Adds more time, and then, oh yeah, I almost got into it with this black guy, where he was straight up ghetto black guy from Detroit. He was only there because Detroit was overpopulated. He didn't even commit a crime in Shiawassee County. He was just brought up here because Detroit was overpopulated. So it was like, and he was a cool guy. He was the most real hardcore motherfucker I'd met in a long time in my life. But it was like, damn, dude, just to hear his experience and know where he came from. But then to see him in action of like his bunk and the other kid's bunk are kind of, you know, butted up to each other. And the kid was sleeping, some 23-year-old dumbass kid. And he kept like accidentally touching his feet. And then there was this one instance where fucking this guy, when he would say his name, he got up and then started fucking yelling at the kid. And I'm over here in the cell kind of, you know, just reading my book, minding my own business. I'm like looking up, watching him. And then all of a sudden the black guy just slaps the fucking kid as fucking hard as he could. And no one says anything. No one says
anything. Stop touching my feet.
That's it. Oh yeah. What the fuck? I told you 3 or 4 fucking times not to fucking do that. And it's like, dude, the kid was sleeping. Like, I didn't know the, you know, exact details, but once he slapped him, I was just like, hey, you know, and I intervened. And then the black guy turns to me and just jumps off the fucking top bunk and gets right in my face. You want to make this your fucking business? You want to fucking go? You want to fucking, you know, and it's just like,
I'm not a fighter. Ready to go.
He's ready to go. He's an animal. I'm an animal too, but I'm not an animal that wants to fight you. You know, I like my face. I like things of that nature. I don't want to fucking hurt you. And I don't.
And I'm not looking to add more time.
But I'm also not looking to let people just get fucking abused. I'm not like that. My kind of animal is like, don't hurt people. What the fuck? That's petty shit. We touched your feet. Ooh, wow. Maybe if he fucked your bitch or maybe stole your fucking meal, maybe do something about it. But he didn't do anything but, ooh, oh, I brushed up against this guy. Oh, like that. That to me showed
how
the difference.
You?
It just showed the difference, though. It showed the difference in the upbringing.
Sure.
And he kept mentioning Detroit's his country. I can't wait to get back to my country. And I'm just like, man, you're ignorant as fuck. You know, and it's nothing racist. It's nothing like that. It's just like, dude, this guy's a hardcore ghetto motherfucker. Born in this area, and he's used to this surroundings, and he's a fighter. He was in there for aggravated assault, had his fucking wrist slashed, got stabbed by his girlfriend and shit, blah, blah, blah. The other kid was just in there for drunk driving. Like, it was just fucking...
Right, you get such a mix.
It was, well, a lot of it's meth, child support, or drunk driving. Those were the top three. Oh, you're in here for meth? Okay. Oh, you're in here for drunk driving? Oh, child support? Those were the top three that I heard, because we had... It was like...
So you're going... While you're there, you're there... 20 days. So are you experiencing guys going through withdrawals? I mean, you just, you were expressing your sobriety.
Not really.
I mean, obviously weed's not a crazy one to cut.
I was locked in there with
one. Cigarettes had to been harder.
Cigarettes were, they weren't too hard, because it's like when you go without, you're being in the jail cell, to me, it made me realize that you're in the now because you're on edge. You're on edge because you're around strangers that you don't know. And you're only just meeting them the first day, the second day, the third day. You're getting to know these guys. And it can be nice. It can be like a boys' camp once you get to know a friend and you talk things about, oh, this is what I'm like on the outside world. This is what you're like. Cool. Oh, you're in here for drunk driving. I know you're not a bad person, but you chose to make a shitty decision. So be it. But it doesn't take away your humanity. We can still gab about this and talk about ladies, but... You know, and then you're watching TV, you get to see the outside. That's the most cable I've watched in a while. So you get this camaraderie, but then it's also animals locked in a cage. And sure, you can't just go somewhere to go chill out. You have to.
You can't separate yourself from the situation, whatever situation. Yes,
so you have to be alert and you have to be on edge, where a guy like me, I'm smart and intelligent. I know that everything's my fault. If I'm in there, it's my fault. It's not because my ex called a bunch, even though, yeah, that's why the cops came to my house. But it's because I didn't pay child support. So I don't just blame it on that. And then everyone in there is like, well, if it wasn't for this bitch, I wouldn't be here. And then the one kid that got drunk driving, if it wasn't for the gas station attendant that called the cops on me, I wouldn't be in here. No, motherfucker. If you
if
wouldn't
the
have
cop
drank,
wouldn't arrested me.
Yeah, that's it.
If and I then, wouldn't have got busted.
And then to me, I'm like, I want to correct them and say, whoa, whoa, you dumb motherfucker. Actually, it's because of this and your choices. But if you want to correct somebody, you better be ready to correct somebody. And that's where I don't want to correct anybody. And you just got to keep your mouth shut. Your head down, keep your mouth shut, do your time, get the fuck out. But then at the same time, I made some good friends. You talk to people and then you make some enemies. But yeah, I don't really make enemies because I just kept my mouth shut. You know, I spoke up a couple times. You know, obviously, the black guy getting in my face, and I made some shit my business that wasn't my business. So it just shows you the real world compared to like what I thought the real world is. And it's like, no, there's some ghetto people out there. Doesn't mean they're all black. Doesn't mean they're all white. Doesn't mean, you know, like the meth heads and the rednecks and shit like that. They're just as crazy as that black ghetto guy. They're just as fucking nice and cordial as everybody, though. Because after the black guy got on my face the next couple days, I gave him a honey bun. I gave him this. He gave me that. We all took care of each other. You know, we all took care of each other because we know this is all we got, man. Nobody out there cares. Nobody in the fucking...
Back when a honey bun means something, man.
Yeah, well, you're trading...
honey buns,
yes,
bro.
That's it. You gonna eat that toast? You gonna eat that toast? You know, and then anything I didn't want? Yeah, who wants this? You guys want my green beans? You want this? You want that? I'm not gonna eat this shit. Beef stroganoff? I'm not gonna eat this. Oh, y'all take that. And then other guys, oh, they're getting rid of their shit, too. We don't like certain foods, you know. That's where my girlfriend thought I was gonna come out fat, and I came out thin. You know, I fucking lost a lot of weight because I'm a picky eater.
Why did you think you were going to come off fat?
Well, because she's like, well, when I was in jail, I kind of got fat because they're feeding you so much. But then to me, it's like, I'm such a picky eater, though. I don't eat hardly anything they give
me. Dude, I got
me.
A funny little anecdote about that, dude. Things I noticed about women. Women, and maybe it's not just, maybe this is too general, bro.
Well, the guys were
whatever.
Saying,
but this is just funny because, like, fat. I just went out to Hocking Hills. And I'm used to eating, like, one meal a day.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's like what I eat.
Before I went in there.
And... dude, we go out there, we have breakfast, all right? And like 2 hours later, they're eating what I think is lunch. Yep. And they're like, how come you didn't have your sandwich? I'm like, well, I'll wait to have it at lunch.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, that's just a snack.
Yes.
And then you eat that. And then a couple hours later, it's lunch.
Uh-huh.
And then we have like a snack. And then it's dinner. Yep. You know, and it was like...
5 meals and dude, it's not even, you know...
mm-hmm. 6 meals in, I was so not used to that.
Yes,
it was crazy.
That's how it was for me, like getting served cereal. You know, you get cereal and the milk to pour in the cereal, and then you get a little shot of orange juice every day. Cereal's either Fruit Loops or Apple Jacks, or it's Rice Krispies, or it's Corn Flakes, or shit like that, Raisin Bran one day. But it's all just generic bagged up cereal. You know, you buy it at Aldi's or whatever, but then... lunch was, you know, it's nothing.
Hey man,
good.
All these rivals Whole Foods.
Oh yeah, oh it's all good. Oh, it's all fucking, you know.
This might be a little past the best day.
Yeah, the cereal. Oh yeah, the cereal was probably the best meal because it was just that cranked up sugar. But then,
so what kind of stuff can you get on like the
commissary show? Yeah. You can get almost. You can get
same, food.
You can get food. Oh yeah, you can. There's even snack bags that you can get. The commissary only comes once a week, where you have to order it by Tuesday at 11:30 p.m. If you don't put in your order through the telephone. You know, you've got this whole system and blah, blah, blah. If you don't put your order in, then you don't get it that week. But you put it in by Tuesday, you get it that Friday. And you can order whatever you want from, like, deodorant, toothbrush, notepads, coloring books, fucking headphones for $50 if you want. Everything's way overpriced. So, like, a little FM radio would have been $47.90, whatever the fuck it was, and this and that. $20 for some deodorant, you know, the good kind. And then you can buy the $5 cheap off-brand shit. Notepads, things of that nature. But then the snack bags were the correction officer would come in usually at nighttime after we had our dinner, and you need a snack bag slip. Okay, we'll get us a snack bag slip. It's just a slip you fill out, my name, what I want. You want a $15 bag, a $9 bag, or a $7 bag, small, medium, large kind of shit. And then in that bag comes a bag of coffee, some lemon drops, a honey bun, some ramen noodles. You get like 2 packs of ramen noodles and a couple bags of chips and just some little shit.
That's in the $15 bag?
That's in the $15 bag. A bag of M&Ms and shit like that. So that whole bag probably cost you maybe $5 on the outside. And then
yeah,
it's you $15 on the inside. So they're making a bunch of money.
What do they do with this money?
I don't know. They should be building a new fucking jail with all the money they're making.
Yeah, they just passed the millage didn't pass.
They said
yeah,
no. They like, said, fuck no. That shit. And the biggest complaint I have about jail is the black mold smell. The black mold smell that would come in every single fucking day, whether it rained or not. I was in there when it was the 94 degrees out, all the fucking, you know, the whole 4th of July and everything like that. But there's a black mold smell coming through there. And then as a logical person I am, it's like, well, yeah, they don't ever clean these vents out. When's the last time they cleaned the vents out? And you could see the intake and the outtake, and you could see all the nasty fucking shit.
When did they ever clean the cells?
We have to clean the cells. That was another requirement. After lunch or after dinner, they'd bring a mop bucket in, and usually the mop bucket wasn't even cleaned out. A lot of the time, the mop bucket smelled worse than it did when we fucking, you know, it was just horrible. They don't give a shit. And that's where I could just be there a week and know that this place doesn't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about me. They care about your money. They want your parents' money. They want your family's money. They want any money they can fucking get.
What is it, a minute on a phone call?
I got it where it was 21 cents a minute, but that's because in jail, they have it all figured out. Everyone has it figured out. It's a loophole. If you get your person, say you were my girlfriend, if you download that Text Now app and you get a state or an out-of-state number, if I call you, it's only 21 cents a minute. But any other time, if I called you collect, it's $15 a phone call and you only get 15 minutes. So it's basically $1 a minute, but then you have to, collect call and they have to be willing to answer it and shit. So every time I called my mom, it was $15 every fucking time. I only called her like 3 or 4 times, but that's $60 right there. you know, and that's over a 3-week period, let alone being somebody that's in there for a year or shit like that. So it's like my one buddy, I won't name his name, but I recognized him from the outside or whatever. And I'd known him back in my past and he was doing a whole year. He'd been in there since February and he doesn't get out till February. And it was like, I can't imagine how much money your girlfriend's spending. I can't imagine how hard it is for these people to, they want to keep communicating with you. So they have to put money on your phone card. They have to put money in this so you can maybe live a decent life. But even then it's just costing your loved ones so much goddamn money. It cost my loved ones $3,500 to get me out. I'm grateful as fuck they got me out, but I wasn't required to do the whole time. It was do the time or pay the money.
So, wait, how does it work if you do the Text Now app where you call from where you have an out-of-state number? They have to call you?
I could call them. You have to call them no matter what. There's no phone calls. There's no receiving any phone calls in jail.
So it's just a different
price? I could receive a voice message if you leave me one, but then even then it's like $5 to leave that. So it's not the jail technically. It's the communication service. They're making the money.
Right, which is all basically owned by, isn't it owned by the same people or no?
No, I don't think it is. I think it's owned by.
That's probably why everything's subsidized and everything. That's why everything's just jacked.
That's exactly it. That's where you can charge people $15 for a phone call, but that doesn't mean it's going to that actual jail. It just means that phone service provider, they service all the jails, they service all the prisons, and that's where they make their little monopoly on fucking people suffering. And you want to talk to your people, you're going to want to talk to them. You're going to want to do this. That little loophole, though, is with the Text Now app. If the Text Now app didn't exist, there wouldn't be a loophole. There wouldn't be, I mean, there obviously
wondered how that works. You just, because it's an out-of-state number.
It was just an out-of-state number, and it's something about probably the legalities of, oh, we can only charge this, or we can charge this if you're calling from Michigan. But if it's an out-of-state number, we can't technically charge you X amount or whatever. I don't even know how the fuck it works. I just know it worked that way. And obviously, once the guys, like, the guards didn't tell me that. The jail didn't tell me any of that information. The people in the jail told me what to do. Hey, man, if you want to get it cheaper, just have your girlfriend download the Text Now app, make sure she gets an out-of-state number, and then when you get money put into your account, then add that money to your phone account, and then you can call her. So she put like $20 in my account. I'd put like $10 of that on my phone account, and then I could call her, you know, maybe a couple days in a row, or maybe probably, I mean, the $10 maybe last me like 3 days, where then I talk to her for 15 minutes at a time, maybe once a day, call her maybe for a couple minutes the next day, you know, just to kind of save it. And you just got to ration it. So then it limits how much communication you have with the outside world.
Well, yeah, because I was wondering, man, I wanted to get in there with cameras.
Oh, God.
I wanted to do like a phone cast.
I would have had to keep it in my asshole to get it in there. That's it, too.
But then an hour and a half, I was like, how much would that cost? They don't even allow you to talk that long on the phone. There's probably like.
I would have to call you back every 15 minutes. You only get 15 minutes no matter what.
And then depending on who's in line to get on the phone.
And depending on how much money you got on the outside. Like the one guy.
Sure.
You get a box, you get a tote when you go in there. Basically, from the holding cell, and then they're taking you in the back. Then they take you over here. They give you your jumpsuit and they give you a white t-shirt and white boxers, which you're charged for. You're charged immediately. Like once my parents or my family put some money in my account,
it was gone.
They took $30 immediately. Like my grandma put in $50 the first time. And then when I went and called, okay, I'm going to check my thing. You have $20.15. I'm like, well, she told me she put 50 in there. But then you listen to the actual transactions, like $30 was taken for this, taken for my booking fee, which is $12. So they get you on all these little fees and fines. And then today I even paid $150 for some old fucking court, you know, court filing fee that I didn't even file anything with the court. My ex-girlfriend filed it with it. And then I get the bill for it. Even though she filed a motion for our case, I get stuck with the bill.
Right.
So it's that feeling of like, I'm not resentful either. I think the system's fucked and I just have to go accordingly. That's why now the priority is to get a job, maintain my freedom. That's it. The money will maintain my freedom. Usually I'm so against money and so anti-money that I'm like, fuck you. Fuck this money. My kids are taken care of. I'm more than willing to take them anytime you goddamn women want to give them to me. But then, hey, I can't depend on that anymore. But also, I don't have to walk on eggshells anymore. Now, as long as I stay current with my child support, when it's my weekend to get them, well, then I can go get them. And then if they don't want to give them to me, I can call the cops and say, hey, it's my weekend. Here's my paperwork. Or, hey, I got to take you to court. Well, that's fine. I'll take you to court and I'll be sober and I'll pass every drug test and I'll do this and that. And that's where my head's at now. It's priority. Priority of family, priority of freedom. Family and freedom are the number one and number two. Number one, it's just one thing. To have my family is freedom, and to be free is to have my access to my family. And that's what I've been lacking for so long, you know? Right, so it is that the best way to stick it to your ex is to be successful. I don't need to be vengeful. I don't need to be despicable to anyone. I don't need to even hold resentment against them, because I'm kind of grateful she turned me in. I'm kind of grateful she called. I'm kind of grateful that I went to jail. Even though it cost my family a lot of money, it still helped me a lot more than not going. You know, not going, I was going to maintain my getting high, maintain doing this and doing that to myself. And since I went, it's a way more clear and sober person than I know I am. I've just been lost. I've been convincing myself that I'm a stoner, hardcore drug guy who fuck the law, fuck this. I don't need to comply with your fucking rules. Oh, you're going to send me a show of cause here. You're going to send me bills. Oh, fuck you. I'm not responding to anything. And that's why they put me in jail, because I don't respond to anything before this moment, before this kind of shit, where that's why the judge was so harsh on me, where it's like, okay, we're going to give you 90 days for this case and 45 days for that case, or you can pay $2,000 for this case and $1,500 for that case. So that's why I got out when I did, because they're willing to pay $3,500. My family could come up with it. It took them 3 weeks to do it, to sell jet skis, to sell this, to come up with that, to have a donation from this stranger. It was amazing, and I'm more than fucking grateful. And that's my priority, is to pay all those people back. You know, my parents, my girlfriend's parents, my girlfriend's friend, all that stuff. It's just my priorities have shifted, and I'm completely grateful. So I'm grateful to everyone that had any involvement, whether they put me there or whether they didn't or whether they did that. I'm just grateful to be free, to have my existence back, and to kind of give my life back
and
to
me. And in a way, just, you know, in a maybe even a sick sort of way, but just appreciating the experience. Mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it gives you a whole new... And 3 weeks, it's a different vacay. It's a different thing. It's breaking habit. They say, what, 18, 20 days? That's...
Yeah, it's 21 days to break a habit or to form a new one. And I formed a new habit, even if it's I eat cereal every morning now. You know,
do you?
Yeah, it's a weird habit where I just got in that mindset of, oh, I wake up every morning and eat cereal in jail, so I'm doing it when I get out. And I didn't even plan it. It was just that natural craving of, oh, we got cereal. My girlfriend loves cereal. I never fucking liked cereal. And then I went into jail, and now I like cereal. I'm not about to order cable and watch all the fucking cop shows that they watched, but...
That's what they watch?
Oh, my God.
They're in jail and they want to watch cop shows?
That's it, dude. They want to watch cop shows. They want to watch cops, literally, and then live PD. Live PD.
What?
Live PD is like there's 8 or 9 stations.
What, do they think they're going to learn something? Obviously, they didn't.
They did. That was the crazy thing about the black guy. He's like, I watch this so I know how much time I'm going to get if I do something like that. I was like, what? He's like, that's why I watch it, because we were like talking about, like, I'm like, I can't stand this shit. I don't know how you guys watch this. Fuck you. Shut the fuck up. We're not watching South Park, you fucking faggot. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, you know, and it's me and another younger guy my age that we just want to watch South Park or watch some Rick and Morty and cartoons. You get every goddamn channel. And it's like, we want to kind of get our minds off of criminality.
Right, but you have to get a consensus
The head guys, whoever's doing the most amount of time in there, they have
seniority.
You know, they have the carte blanche of the fucking cell, and they're just, okay, well, no, we're not going to watch that.
You don't get no toilet paper.
That's it.
So, use your hand.
Yeah, so I got used to fucking not watching what I wanted to watch.
Oh, I thought you were going to say shitting in your hand.
No, I got used to fucking not shitting. It was basically
I'm going
to
hold. Yep, okay, yeah. It's back in there. Oh, I'm good for another day.
I was good for a week. I didn't shit at least the first week. And then after that, I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to have to shit eventually. And then, you know, it was kind of nice because you could put a blanket up. You could basically, like, the shower is right next to the shitter, and then there's a brick wall right there, and then the door's over here, and the camera's like pointing that way, but they can still see everything. The camera shifts 360, so it's like you don't really have privacy. And then if I'm on the shitter right now and the brick wall's here, I'm looking right at the bunks, and then they're all looking at the TV that's right up here. So you're pretty, you know, you try to get the blanket up high enough, and then, you know, everyone can hear everything.
Oh,
you know, you're in a brick wall, brick building.
Echoing like a motherfucker.
Well, my hearing was so much different when I got out, because I'm like, whoa, just not having to hear everything echo. And then when I listen to music, and I'm like, whoa, holy shit, I appreciated that even more, you know, all that stuff. And it was just like, holy fuck. It was an experience for sure.
Yeah, in one way, it's like, I mean, obviously you're some sort of sensory deprivation, even if it's just social sensory.
Out of the sun, out of the fucking, you know, not hearing the music I want to hear. There's that one Owasso channel where it shows you the time and the weather and all that shit, and then it, like, plays music in the background. They're playing, like, 92.5 The Castle, but other than that, yeah. You read books, and a lot of people don't read in there, and it's kind of funny because they started reading more once they seen me reading, and it's like, yeah, it might have been a coincidence.
He's reading a book. Maybe I can burn some time reading a book. What books they got?
Oh, yeah. They got Stephen King, and I was reading a bunch of detective books by Patricia Cornwell. Really good ones, you know, where she used to be an actual medical examiner, and then in the book she has this fictitious character that's a medical examiner, but she knows all the details of everything, going through the burn victims and this and that, and finding murderers and homicides. So it was really interesting, but a lot of the guys don't read. You know, the black guys especially, they refuse to read books. And it's nothing against black people, but it's like, that's something I noticed. Like, what? All we like, this is a book. He's like showing me the magazine.
Yeah, like 18. The pictures.
Well, yeah, that's it. But he was like, you know, this is a book. I'm like, no, that's not a book. This is a book. See this book? This is a book.
How many books did you read?
At least 9 or 10.
Oh, damn. Like, so.
I would read a 500-page book in a day and a half.
Right? You just take up your day.
You got, that's it. And it'd make the time fly by.
That's why everyone's not getting up until fucking 2.
Well, we wouldn't even go to bed till 2-3 in the morning. And then we fucking.
Oh, they don't have like a lights out?
They have a lights out, but that doesn't mean they shut up.
Sure.
That doesn't mean they shut up at all. That was some of my most tormenting nights of just wanting to go to bed. But then the guy under you and all three of those four guys and then the two guys behind you, they're all talking. And you can't.
Yep, and it's all echoing.
Yes, that's it. Where I eventually bought erasers to put in my ears as earplugs. I literally did. I bought some erasers.
Bought some $6 pencils.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's it. That was the first thing I bought was a fucking legal notepad. Pencils
for $6.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. It wasn't too bad. I think they were like 78 cents a piece. 78 cents a piece for a pencil that long. And then I got pens that are flex pens. It's not even like a hard pen.
They won't give you shoelaces, but they'll give you a pencil.
Yeah. I think that's funny. Oh, my God.
Put that right in someone's jugular.
Oh, yeah. That's
like John Wick.
And they
fucking pencil. Yes,
and they sharpen it for you, too. You got to send them out to be sharpened and then get them back and blah, blah, blah. And they give you razors and stuff, you know, but they don't have a barber. They don't have a barber for the jail anymore. That was like the one thing the guys were complaining about. Man, I need a haircut. Yeah, well, you ain't getting one because they don't give a fuck. They do not give a fuck about you, nor do they have to. And then the COs, the correction officers, it's all hit or miss. Some of them are nice. They leave our TV on until 2-3 in the morning. Other ones, midnight. It's done. They're just cocksuckers. They're just assholes. But they're power tripping. They get in that line of work for the benefits. I understand that. It's a lot of benefits because...
And one of those benefits being, I got a badge and a stick, motherfucker.
Yeah, and they don't even have a stick. They just got, like, tasers.
No, like a gun or like the, like I'm going to shoot you with the coil?
I don't know. I think it was like a yellow one.
So it's the gun.
Nobody ever pulled it out, but it was, taser gun or whatever. And a lot of them are cool, though. They joke with you, you know, and the one guy that's been in there forever, he knows all of them.
Well, they have to make their job, too. I mean, how depressing is it for them?
Yes, and a lot of people are, some of them are depressed. They're just assholes, and they just, don't do this, and they... follow everything by the book.
Well, they've all dealt with shit.
Oh, yes, and I understand that. Whereas the feeling of like, man, you are in this line of work, and how miserable must this be to be voluntarily in jail?
Yeah, how are you like, this is the job I want.
Yeah, and that's why I said the benefits. The benefits, literally the work benefits of you get a pension, you get this, you get that. That's the only incentive to work that kind of job to me, in my opinion. In my opinion, if you want a job that's going to...
Yeah, what are you getting that's like morally or physically fulfilling? You know, like what are you getting out of that? I mean, obviously...
Because they're not rehabilitating
anybody.
No rehabilitation whatsoever. Like, that's what my main concern is for those guys still in there. Because once I got out, I had some breakdowns. I had some mental, emotional breakdowns to my family, to my girlfriend, to everything. It scars you. It is. And that's just 21 days. I can't imagine being in prison for like 3 years like my dad was. My dad was in prison in Tennessee, of all places, being a Yankee, going down to some hillbilly fucking prison for selling LSD, and that was when I was first born. And then me and him talked about that. You know, obviously he's cleaned his life up, but even after his 3 years of prison, he still got out and started smoking crack and doing things of that nature. So it's like, he obviously didn't fucking learn a motherfucking thing. If anything, he learned how to be a criminal in prison.
Right. In there for stealing a car, and you walk out in a PhD in cocaine or whatever.
Yes, I was learning a lot of shit. This guy telling me how to sell meth and do this. He's like, I don't smoke the shit. I just sell it. I make $1,000 a day down in Detroit. It's like, you think I smoke that shit? Fuck that. He's like, I need some fully automatics. Can you get me fully automatics? I'm like, what? You know, he's asking me how to get a meth because I live in Marion Springs or I live here. I need this. I need that. Can you get me? I'm like, no, man. You know, I'd humor him and just talk to him and listen, but it's still like, damn, that's what your life's about.
What are you doing with your life? Yes. Your life. Yeah.
But then he's bragging. I came in here in a fucking alligator suit. I came in here with fucking pants that look like platinum. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. You know, I got 10 kids. He had 10 kids. Jeez. And I was like, okay. You know, and then I said, well, I've got 3 baby mamas and 4 kids, so I'm kind of black. And they fucking laughed immediately. And it was my first time to, like, try that joke on some actual black people. So I was like, okay, cool. They're not all going to fucking hate me if I say that. But, you know, it's just a stereotype. It is that stereotype. And then, obviously, the black guy with 10 kids kind of lives up to that stereotype. So I'm not racist by any means. We all shared camaraderie. We all had good times.
That's what I was going to ask. Would you rather it be, like the cell like you were in, or would you rather it be like, hey, here's your cell and you have a bunkmate?
I would rather probably, I don't know. That's kind of a tough question because it depends on the person. Where it's like, if this guy's just a piece of shit and I'm with one piece of shit,
stuck with
this
one, whoever,
sucks and sucks. Where it'd just be like, dude, this guy's opinion sucks about everything compared to like, if this guy's opinion sucked, I could always turn to this guy. If that guy's opinion sucked, I could always turn to
him. But it feels like if it got down to throwing bows, it's a riot real quick. You got the three or four that are standing on the outside trying to stay uninvolved, but end up getting involved when the mace and everything else comes in.
That was another concern, too, when the guys started going at it, and I was just like, whoa, I need to make sure I'm kind of out of the way of getting fists in my face or doing this. A lot of times, hey, you want to throw hands? You want to throw hands? Over cards. I'm like, man, this is so stupid.
So what was, like, you said, like, so obviously some black mold issues, some shitty food.
Yeah, that was the
old shit. But, like, how once is the building? Like if you were to go in there and you were in there for 3 weeks and you were, like, Aaron Brockovich in the shit to say, like, hey, this place needs to be updone or redone or any of these, is the millage worth it? I mean, obviously not to the extent that maybe they're considering, but how bad does this place really need to be taken care of?
If you care about people, then you would want to... you'd want to take care of them in a better way. You know, there's black mold by the shower. The fucking vents were black mold. You could smell it. I've been around black mold before because I used to fucking work on water, fucking, you know, water damaged basements. I've taken out a lot of drywall with black mold behind it. Obviously, me and my dad were doing it, and it wasn't all hazmat and all the OSHA requirements, so I know what the fuck black mold smells like. I've been around it. And then to smell it coming through the vents, and it's like, and then you'd be like, oh, it's just raining outside. Well, click on the fucking weather channel. Let me call my girlfriend. Is it raining outside? No, it's not. So why are we smelling black mold? It's got to be some kind of, you know,
something in the ducts for sure.
Yeah, so it is that feeling of like, there's people, there's outbreak of scabies. There is an outbreak of this, outbreak of that, because you're having a bunch of animals, humans, locked in cages together. There was one guy that came in. He hadn't showered for 3 months because he was homeless on the street. He first thing he did is take a shower, and then I started talking to him. Yeah, man, I haven't taken a shower in 3 months, man. That's the first shower I've had in 3 months. I'm like, okay, what are you in here for? Child support. Okay, cool. Like, what the fuck? And then you're sleeping on this cot because we don't have enough room for you. So they brought in a cot and, you know, we're sleeping on the concrete in the holding cell. I slept on the concrete in there and it's like, okay.
How long did they hold you before they processed you?
Basically, I went in Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. and I didn't go to the back until about 8 p.m. Wednesday night. So I had to stay on concrete for at least 24 hours. You know, actually more than 24 hours. 24 hours would have been Wednesday morning and then another fucking 12 hours after that. So 36 hours of sitting on, standing on, sleeping on concrete.
So yeah, now tell me about how this all went down. So tell me about Elmer going to jail.
I just woke up. It was 9 o'clock Tuesday morning.
You're wiping the crusties out of your eyes.
Wiping the crusties out of my eyes and just waking up where my girlfriend has just left.
And then all of a sudden just...
Yeah. Not even on the door. He just tapped on the window because he seen my son right there in the living room, and I was just in the bathroom taking a piss, just waking up. Okay, hon. Yep, he's in the living room. He's all set. He's got his snacks and food. Okay, cool. I'll see you later. I love you. Get up, take a piss, and then tap, tap, tap. It was the immediate. Didn't even have time for a cigarette. And it's a guy that just came to my house not that long ago. He had just come to my house for a warrant that I had, and he's like, well, if you can come up with $1,200 right now, we don't have to take you in. My family and I came up with the $1,200 just 3 weeks before this. And then, I didn't have to go to jail. Cool. But then me being the stoner I am, I get, you know, bills after that of here's a child support thing that you got to, you know, here's your bill. And then here's a show of cause hearing. I ignored the show of cause. The show of cause is basically like, come in and show us why you're not paying your bill. Tell us why you're not paying it. Tell
so you could have avoided probably jail.
I could have avoided jail. I could have avoided it completely if I would have complied. But then me, I was too busy getting high and too busy with that priority. That was my priority in life of, oh, no, I just need more weed. Are you bringing any more weed home, hon? Are you doing this? When are you getting weed next? And then, after I had my weed, then I can do my YouTube. Then I can go up north. Then I can do this. I had to have weed before I did anything and everything. And now I don't have to. Now it's that feeling of like, I'm grateful that I went to jail. So now I got some fucking clarity. First time in 10 years, basically. I've basically been high for at least 10 years, maybe,
Yeah, you haven't took a 20-day break in 10 years.
At least, you know, being in the 12-gauge house, being in the band, being 23, doing this and that. I've been a constant stoner the whole time. And my priorities have been fucked, where then I did a lot of drugs, and I'm thinking, oh, the money system's corrupt, and the money system is the worst system that mankind has ever
so
faced.
So you're there, it's just tap, tap, tap on the window, and he's like, and then he wants to come in, and you're like, no, and you step out. And
no,
he's
like, a cool guy. He was a cool guy, because I met him the week before, 3 weeks before, whatever it was. And, hey, man, I'm here again. You know, he's just doing his job. He's a nice human guy. He's fucking about retired.
One cop or just one
guy? Yep, just one guy, not even in a uniform or anything. He's just a... He's a seniority kind of guy. He's like, I got 2 years to retire. We talked all about that while I'm trying to call Patty and come up with money. Because he told me the same thing. Well, if you can come up with this much money, I don't have to take in. But nobody, because we just did it 3 weeks ago, nobody had any money to give me, obviously. And nobody's wanting to give me more money after they just fucking paid my $1,200 bill 3 weeks prior. So it's that feeling of,
even a month later.
Yeah.
That's kind of
Mm-hmm. So then I'm really fucked. And then it was like, well, I guess I'm going to jail then. And yeah, Patty, can you come home? Call her. She comes home. Got to wait for her the whole time because she just got to Owosso. So I got to wait the 30 minutes and me and the guy shoot the shit. I smoke some cigs. I get some cigs in me.
Get my nicotine in.
Yeah, I smoked at least 2 or 3 cigs and I'm watching the boy at the same time. And we're talking about my son. Oh, he's so cute and blah, blah, blah. And talking about this and that. Talking about that guy's life because we're just two guys. You know, I have nothing against cops.
Right, and you're like, yeah, I know what this is going on. I'm not going to run.
I'm
out of here.
Yes, that's it. And then I was almost pretty nonchalant about it, and that's kind of what upset my girlfriend too, but that's my defense mechanism. My defense mechanism, when I know I'm in shitty situations, is to play it cool. And that's me. That's just a thing that I have about me, which is a good thing, because if you just broke your arm, I'm not going to freak out and make you fucking more scared.
Right, make you freak out.
I'm going to be like worst, hey, hon, everything's tactic good. Everything's good. We're okay. Just, yep, you need to come home. And I'm obviously going to jail. Like, get right to the core of it. And then she's upset, obviously. And then it's that feeling of, okay, I go to jail. We went 85 miles an hour all the way there. 85 miles an hour. He's driving 85 the whole fucking way. Could have put us in danger, could have killed us, could have done anything like that. But yeah, he's a cop, so he can speed all he wants because he's above the law because he is the law. That's my only complaint against the guy. But yet he wasn't a reckless driver. He's just driving way over the fucking speed limit. Why do you need to do that? You want to show off? You want to show me how big your dick is? Okay, cool. I know you got a big dick. That's great. Other than that, I don't give a fuck. I'm cordial. I'm kind. I'll humor you. I'll be a good human. I'm really good at humaning. I can convince anybody that I'm a good person. But at the same time, yeah, I don't give a fuck about this guy. He's a nice guy. So it's like a shift of like, oh, okay. But then, yeah. And then I seen him when I went in to pay my child support just last week. And we hit it off. Hey, man. Hey, good to see you. Good to see you on that side of the wall, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And we hit it off. He's a good guy. But it's still that feeling of like, okay, I know what this is about. It's about money. It's all about money. You don't have any interest in rehabilitating me.
Yep. Nope. Not at all. Mm-mm. How long can we milk you? How many classes can we give you?
No classes.
It's like
there's no class.
Just gonna charge you money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
money,
why all
money,
that
money.
Well, all the piss testing shit, all the dropping for colors or doing this or doing that. It's all a money thing. You got to pay like $5 or $10 every time you go do that, and then certain people have to do it 3 or 4 times a week, and then other people don't. And you know, whereas it's all according to the person. It's all according to the judge. You know, this guy can get pulled over. This guy can get pulled over both for drunk driving, but this guy's fine. It's $1,000 and 80 hours community service. This guy is fine. It's $300 and no community service.
Right. Yeah.
Why is that? They're both drunk driving.
Because we got a good lawyer.
Well, because we got money.
Yeah, and exactly. If you have money, you can erase some problems.
That's it. I could have been out the fucking same day if I would have had money.
Sure.
And they don't really care to teach me a lesson because I had money. If I had money, but this time I got taught a lesson because I had 3 weeks to really learn and to teach myself and to, you know, and then now that I'm out, it's like I've had a lot of other shit happen, but it's still the feeling of, hey, I'm just grateful to be out. I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful to be sober as fuck.
So what was the first meal you had after you got out?
Stuffed crust pizza.
Stuffed crust pizza from someplace or did
from
you?
From Corona Little Caesars. Basically, she picked me up from the jail Monday morning.
Yeah, I need pizza.
And we had a babysitter, so she actually drove me all the way home first. We went all the way back to Marion Springs. I shit, showered, cleaned myself up, and then we went right in the car and went right back to Corona. Ate Little Caesars as a family after we picked up our boy, and it was just, that was it. I've been craving it because I kept seeing commercials for stuffed crust pizza. So then I'm like, God damn it.
The advertising
I'm like,
working.
I'm like, that's the first thing I'm fucking
doing
when
its
I get out
job.
Here.
Uh-huh. What do I crave the most?
Mm.
Proof that advertising works when you don't have access to it. Mm. Oh, man. I'm just going to close my eyes and pretend this cardboard is some...
And that's why I don't...
doesn't do it.
That's why I pay for YouTube, so I don't have ads. I don't have subliminal bullshit, and I don't watch cable.
Right.
That was the most amount of cable I've watched. And years. I don't watch cable. I don't.
The only time I'm watching TV is like if I'm someplace and it's on. But most generally, it's like it's because it's at a bar.
Parents, that's it. That's
bar really restaurant. It.
My parents will watch TV, and then I'm just like in the living room talking to them, catching up while the TV's going. And then it's like I'm going back outside. You know, I'm going back to do this. I don't want to be subliminally fucking just hide in there. Bye.
Don't fuck to fuck.
Oh, yes.
You need consume.
Yes, you need to watch this. You need to buy that. You need to
fear all of these things and consume these things, and you'll be better human. No, people still don't like you. You better take these pills.
Yes. Oh, man. That was it, too. Like watching the fucking cops. They just want to watch cops and watch people suffer. And I'm not about that. But that shows you why they're in there, though. If you guys are watching cops in jail, what are you watching outside of jail?
Probably the same shit.
That's it. So it's just a general, it's almost like the universe and manifesting shit.
Yeah, I mean, you're surrounding yourself with what you want.
That's it. And they just want more of it. They don't, not one of them actually took responsibility for their actions, like I was saying earlier, where not this guy's like, oh, it's that bitch that put me in here. Oh, it's that gas station attendant. Oh, it's this one guy. He had gotten drunk driving, crashed his car. And then after that, they took him to the hospital. He tried to escape the hospital, fleeing and eluding the police, got his ass beat by them, this and that. And it's just like, and he's still, what the fuck? And this is the second time doing the same goddamn thing of getting in a car accident, drunk driving. It's like people don't learn a fucking thing because in jail, there is no counselor. You know, you have church on Sunday.
There's no way to talk about it.
Well, no, and I sat there with a notepad and I journaled every thought I had, you know, and they kind of thought I was weird. They're like, what are you writing? What are you writing in that? And I'm like, just my thoughts, just like what's happening. Like, see, today I had cereal and then I did this and then this guy did that and blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, they're even talking about people in there that are all snitches that, oh, you know, usually people are writing down like the transcribing conversations. Oh, this guy's squealing about this or he's talking about crimes he committed. And then some guy in there is documenting it because they actually have.
Why wouldn't you assume that there's a microphone in that cell anyway?
There is. There's all mic. They're all mics. They're all.
You should assume that everything that you're hearing is transcribed.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just to be slightly.
And that's
you know,
it. And they all talk. They,
in the 21st century.
Nobody talked about crimes they had committed, but they did. You know, they talked about just the shit that their priority was. The priorities of. That's why I say priority so much, because I really learned what my priorities are in life. And it's not what these guys have as their priority. Oh, man, I can't wait to smoke meth when I get out. Can't wait to just get a big bowl of crack. Can't wait to trick out some hoe. You know, and I'm like, okay, I can't wait to like hold my son. I can't wait to see the.
I can't
sunshine.
Wait for some stuffed crust pizza from Little Caesars, bro.
I kept telling him, I'm like, I can't wait to be boring because I'm really boring. I said, outside of this, I'm actually boring compared to you crack smoking, meth smoking, tricking out hoes and doing this and doing that. And, you know, this one guy, I just can't wait to fuck bitches. I can't wait to get some pussy. But yet every problem he talked to me about seemed like it was a girl problem. Oh, man, well, you had this one baby with a heroin addict who then threatened to kill your child and then kill you, and you still want to go get pussy? You don't want to maybe, like, just focus on you and your son?
Get you
and
good.
Get you good before your relationship, not even relationships. You just worry about getting pussy. You know, it's like, okay.
Leave with my dick, bro.
That's
My dick need to be wet, bro.
That's
some wet dick.
Yeah, and it's a fucking, it's just a mind fuck. So it taught me a lot. It taught me the priorities of life, and it's definitely not fucking bitches, and it's definitely not smoking meth and smoking crack and drunk driving and all that shit. None of that is a priority in my life. So it's like, I don't feel so much better then, but I know I'm kind of better off. I'm better off than these people, you know, and then I'm rehabilitating myself. I wrote down everything I did because I want to remember it. I don't want to fucking forget it. I don't want it to be like, oh, I was in jail. And
all right, you want to take the experience and use it as a lesson as opposed to, completely. Well, I'm on the first shit. How about that?
Yeah.
I'm entitled.
Yep, that's it. That's exactly it. So it is a reminder. It's a reminder I could go and look back at and be like, oh, that's what
so
I was
So it's like
feeling.
The first kind of content you consumed when you got out?
Nothing. I just went
You ever
right.
consumed any content yet?
Oh, I have, but it was like when I first got out, it was just, where can I fill out a job application?
Sure.
That's why I didn't post anything immediately. I mean, I posted like Elmer is free. That was the first thing I did.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I shared that video.
Really,
I was like, hey.
I didn't consume anything on Facebook, though. I really stayed right away from it. And it was just like, okay, get in apps, do this, do that. So the first couple of days were just boom, 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 boom.
Well, have you watched a movie yet this week?
I watched Stranger Things 3.
You binged that season out?
Yep.
What'd
much.
You think?
It's kind of dumb. And it's because they're trying to put more comedy into it. It was super dumb. Super, super fucking dumb. In
I think some
moments.
Of the dumbness actually stems from their like homage to so many things 80s.
That too, but it was really...
That's also where it kind of made it feel really thin. Like, they're, you know, playing on Invasion of the Body Snatchers, playing on The Blob, playing on The Terminator, playing on, like, you know...
It wasn't even that shit that I thought was dumb, Red though. Dawn. It's just, like, the cop guy. That kind of shit.
Hopper?
Hopper, his attitude and this and that, and even Sigourney Weaver, just extra dumbness.
Sigourney Weaver,
not Sigourney Weaver. I mean, Winona Ryder.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Sorry,
Winona Ryder. Yeah, so Winona,
the klepto.
She was like, I think like the first season she was phenomenal in the acting. Second season she kind of fell off. This was like, what the hell? Like, she just felt so unreal. Like it was just so forced. Everything felt.
Care
so
if
forced.
I grab a water real quick?
Yeah, no, go ahead, man.
I have to because my mouth is fucking killing me if I don't have liquid in it.
Got that mouth roll. That's because, you know, you just keep on...
My teeth are hurting because I keep eating food.
that throat groaning. It grunts and groans, you know? But, yeah, Stranger Things, man. It's, I thought... Do what? Yeah, no, there's water in there. Find you some water. There you go.
That's the only reason I've been drinking, because this tooth right here is fucking killing me. But it's because I've been eating so much goddamn food that I'm not used to eating.
Well, you're eating so much food, man. Like,
what's that oral fixation? Because of quitting smoking, quitting the Mountain Dew, quitting everything, and then it's like, oh, everything is an oral fixation for me. You know, whether it's munching or doing this, I've been munching a lot more, been doing that kind of shit, and it's just like. Holy fuck. I mean, the whiskey was good or the bourbon was fucking good.
I haven't
good.
Even eaten yet today.
Good. Yeah.
I'm rather famished. I'm ready to eat some food. No lie.
I had a couple cheeseburgers from McDonald's. That was a
The McDicks.
Like,
slinging some doubles.
Oh, yeah. Not even McDoubles. It was just literal regular cheeseburgers. I was like, oh, I got $2.
Got these 79-cent cheeseburgers.
Yeah, 99 cents exactly. I was like, fuck, man.
99 cents for a cheeseburger?
Mm-hmm.
And that extra 29 cents makes that extra patty. Where did it go?
212 or whatever it is, you know, dollar each, and then your 6 cents and blah, blah, blah. But, oh, yeah, just toothache shit that I'm grateful to have a toothache. That's cool. As long as it didn't hurt in jail, that was another big concern of like, ooh, I had to take it easy on the chips and easy on that shit because my teeth are fucked. So does that feeling of like, if I get a toothache in here, what the fuck's going to happen? You know, I'm not going to.
It's going to be torture.
Yes, you're not going to get anything, but maybe unbearable. Some Tylenol, maybe. And that ain't going to fucking help it. Like, Tylenol doesn't really do the trick. Motrin kind of reduces the inflammation and shit, but that fucking bourbon, that was about the best. That was the fucking, even that, it only lasts a little bit. It's like almost like you have to keep the liquid on it and blah, blah, blah. And Jesus
it's
Christ.
It's tincture.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I got some at home, actually.
So you watch Stranger Things, but that's a, you didn't really care for it.
It's good. It is good. It's got a lot of action. You know, I like the fourth episode, you know, it's almost like they have 8 episodes and by the fourth one, by the middle of the whole season, it really ramps up. And then episode 5 and 6, I think that's about as far as I've got. I still need the 7 and 8.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I kind of watched it and kind of didn't. It was like, I was kind of watching it with my girlfriend and then she went, you know, out for the night. So I kind of finished it up by myself. But yeah, when I was watching it, I was kind of journaling as well and keeping my thoughts going and blah, blah, blah. So I watched 7 and 8, but not really. I really, you know,
I have watched. Like, I had one eye open, one eye.
Yes, that kind of shit. So it's like I'm going to rewatch it, you know, at least this, because we rewatched it last night, or I started off where me and her left off at episode 5, and it's good, you know, the one old lady eating all the fucking dirt and shit like that and having that kind of freak out.
Fertilizer.
Kinda,
oh,
yeah.
Eating shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was just like, okay, but I don't know. I think the Russian shit is overplayed. I hate that everyone.
But it was in the 80s, though.
Oh, yes.
That's the trope that it really is going with.
Yes, but I hate that everyone has to overplay this Russia shit. You know, it's not just that. It's just the whole...
It was more Soviet, but yeah.
Still, same thing to me. They're Russian. They're speaking Russian. Yeah, so it's like that feeling of like, it's almost another market of, oh, we got the Russian market, the anti-American Russian Soviet Union market. That is a market that is being overexploited so much just to keep us in the mentality that Russia's bad, which they probably are.
What was it?
You know,
I don't know. I still think it's just one of those tropes. But I agree with that. It might be overplayed. But I think that is also just something that's the 80s, man.
Like, I know, but I wish they, I don't know. I don't think it's just I like the show because they have the 80s nostalgia, but they don't have to play into the actual time frame. They play into the, well, here's a mythical creature and this and that, or not a mythical, but it's a, yeah, it all came from the MK Ultra experiments and all that kind of shit. And I just don't know enough about it, I guess, or I don't care enough about it. You know, it's entertainment.
I think they're gonna there's a lot of rumors that in season four they're gonna bring up like Chernobyl. Like it's all gonna be kind of you know, would kind of make sense and where they're at in the timeline.
Tie it in.
Did you have you ever seen Heredity?
No.
Dude, I just watched that movie last night. Probably one of the scariest movies I've ever watched in my life.
When was it? How old is it?
It doesn't seem like it's that old, maybe 1 or 2 years old. But dude, like
Heredity.
I had every hair on my body standing up on end several times.
That's how like the fourth kind was for me when I first watched that, and then I realized it was all bullshit.
Not really many jump scares.
I'm gonna write it down.
Everything that was scary was definitely like hit you on like an emotional level on why it was scary.
Okay.
And it was just very, just like unnerving. Like it was very much like kind of reminded me of Sinister in some ways, like how that feeling is, because it's not a jump scare movie. It's almost feels like a kind of a slow burner.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, I'm like, you know, the first 30 minutes, maybe I'm just kind of like, where are they going with this? Some of this is happening quick, but like, I don't understand how things tie in. And then by the time everything starts tying in, you're like, oh,
Jesus,
this is really good.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
I'll check it out. Definitely recommend that one.
What's the like premise of it? I mean, if you don't want to give too much away kind of show.
Basically, matriarch dies, and the one mother is a model maker, and she's getting ready for like an exhibit, and the family starts experiencing like this different visual phenomenon.
Okay.
And the husband's kind of like, I don't know if this is real or whatever. I think you guys are all crazy.
Questioning the validity of all their.
Yeah. So it's just, that's pretty much as base because I can get without giving anything.
Oh yeah.
Away.
I was going to say that gives me enough of an idea to be like, oh, okay. One of those.
But the way everything's shot. Yeah. Just very well shot, man. Like everything's just very smooth and you know how it reveals certain things cinematically. Yeah. It's good stuff. Good experience.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to definitely check it out. Was it on Netflix? Or no?
No, dude. I let everything go. Oh, the only thing I keep is Prime now. So I let my Hulu go. I let my Netflix go. Only way I was able to actually see Stranger Things was because Brett still had Netflix up.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm like, all right, checking that out.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I haven't been on Netflix except for that. You know, that's the only thing I've actually got on Netflix for. And then I'll go back and watch I Think You Should Leave just because it's so funny. I Think You Should Leave.
It's
fucking hilarious. Yep. I just love it.
Watched it. I have that in my in my list, but I don't have it anymore. So I got to put
fucking funny dumb. It's so dumb funny that it's just like, whoa. And just like every single episode is just it's almost about alienating everybody. You're just about like getting everyone so turned off that it's like, no, get the fuck out of here. It's basically from a guy that used to be an SNL writer. And then a lot of this show is a bunch of SNL skits that were rejected. So it's like, that's pretty much it. Where
the B-sides.
They're like, but they're so much funnier.
I'm sure.
They're funnier if you're into that dry humor and like, just like the one I showed you or the one I talked to you about where he's just opening a door the wrong way. And he's like, no, it goes both ways. And then he's like struggling and then breaking the trim and still just looking at the guy the whole time. Yeah, and it's just...
Yeah, just long, awkward.
Yes, I love it. Oh, where they go 10 steps over the line. Yep. You know, you think you stop at 3 or 4.
They take it to
like,
the absurdity.
No, absurd as fuck. You know, when the guy's like, there's one that I'll give it away, but it won't give it away no matter what. Because it's just like, once you see it, it's like, holy shit, you could tell me everything about it. And I'd still think it's fucking funny no matter what. Where he's in an office setting and he comes in and they put a whoopee cushion on his chair and he just like sits on it. He's like, oh. And like, he's convinced he farted. And then they're like, no, it's just a joke. He's like, why is there a pink cushion on my chair? And they're like, well, it's just a joke. You know, he's like, what? What's the joke? And it's like, you know, he just doesn't get it. And they're like, what do you mean? You know, if I farted, you'd be puking right now. And like all that shit. And they're like, no, it's a joke. He's like, what's the joke then? Are you like, and just goes over the line of what are you going to put whipped cream in my pants? So I think I shit myself. Like what? Just, oh my God. It's so fucking ridiculous. It is. And just the guy that delivers it, the guy, Tim Robinson that wrote it all, he's the main actor and it's just so fucking crazy. He is such a weirdo looking like a weirdo that is just, it plays off perfectly. All the imagery, the this and that. I love it. I love it. It's the most original thing I've seen in a long time. That's how I feel about it. That's why I keep rewatching it. It's only 6 episodes. They're only like 15 to 20 minutes long, but they're so fucking up my
alley. That's the thing, dude. Like original content. Actually, there is a movie that just came out that looks really good. It's called Yesterday. Have you seen the trailer for this?
Isn't it the Beatles
kind of
thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't even understand like what
the power
it's about.
Goes out and he wakes up and no one remembers the Beatles except for him. He remembers all their songs. And oh, so like
see,
he ends up making
it
big.
That's awesome.
He ends up like blowing up. Like he's playing yesterday at like with dinner or something. Uh-huh. We showed this in the preview and they're like, they're just blown away. Like, yeah. When did you write that? And like, when did I write it? It's the Beatles. They're like, who are the Beatles? And it shows them like Googling Beatles and it's like, they're not there.
That's awesome. That's something. Yeah, that is original thought.
I know.
That's
I was like, and it's great. By the guys that did, I think it was what they do, like Life of Pi or no, okay. maybe it was Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, I think that's what
that's
it,
a killer one but, too.
Yeah, dude. It looks interesting, man. It's like one of those ones that it's like, I'd love to catch that matinee. Oh, you know, I just want to, even if I'm just humming along to all the songs and seeing their take on it.
Well, it reminds me of Across the Universe, but obviously that's just, you know.
Right,
yeah. That was such a good one, though, too. But it's still, fuck, that concept of just like, yeah, they're going to forget everything. And this is, it reminds me of the fucking Hot Tub Time Machine where he like comes
up with
Lugal instead of Google and shit like that. He's like,
Motley Lou.
Yeah, Motley Lou.
Yeah. Dude, yeah.
It'd be such a good fucking, you know, just to write a movie like
it's
that.
It's so
like,
black. Yeah. It's so incredibly black.
Holy fuck.
I love that. Wow. Good for you. Mm-hmm. Good for you, man.
I love Rob Corddry, man. He's one of my favorites. Him and the fucking Harold and Kumar go to Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's talking like, to the parents, you know, like, I don't understand a fucking word you just said.
We're speaking English.
Yep. Oh, fuck you.
Like, dude, wait, what was the other one? There was like some like game. I'm trying to remember that he something. God, he's been in so many movies.
Oh, yeah. He's just great. He's so great. His delivery and his, you know, it's all the expressions he can. Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's like, if I was going to kill myself, I'd be awesome at it. Shotgun to the dick.
Yeah, exactly. Holy shit. Oh, yeah. That's always a classic. Yeah. It's, I got certain ones to catch up on. But
do you remember, Kara Kimmer?
Uh-oh. Nope.
She was in Hot Tub Time Machine, too.
Okay.
Yeah, real briefly.
Which one? Oh, I don't think I've seen number two. I think I only seen
parts
of
the second one wasn't that good.
Oh, they never are. They just milk it. You know, they know that people are going to come see it. That's what sucks, because a lot of sequels like that, you know they're just milking it. If it turns out to be good, that's cool, but it's like, it's just...
Or if you really want it.
Well, just as a math magician or mathematician, all you got to do is be like, well,
we made X amount of dollars. Yeah.
Yes, we'll at least have this percentage rate return to see the second one, no matter what. And, you know, and then there you go. Well, if we can only put this much out in the budget and then, well, we'll get a fucking happy return.
Or half
no
the time
what.
They already have, like, if they didn't completely sell the sets or whatever, and it's like happening in a short span of time, they already have half the production done.
Yes,
they already have like,
you cut your production cost in half,
sure.
Making the sequel. And
especially
then,
in animation.
Yes.
A lot of these environments and characters are already created.
Toy Story.
Sure, they can up them up, but like...
Oh, yeah, because it took years to create that, and then it's like, well, yeah, you're not going to just delete it and start over. You're going to, we'll just modify it a little bit. We'll take that scene and mix it up with this, and then we'll save this much time and this much money.
You ever seen that thing where, like, it shows Walt Disney, and it shows some of his old animations and how he would recycle the same... things going on through multiple different cartoons that he animated.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And it's just that, cost versus this versus that. Oh, we can fucking, you know. Oh, yeah. I completely understand that. But it's that feeling of, okay, well, then you're in it for just the money.
Right. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can reinvent the character, but we're going to use the same motion and same black shot or whatever.
Yep. Change the head, change the hands, change whatever.
That deep faking stuff is getting crazy.
Oh, dude. The fucking Jim Carrey and
The Shining.
That was my favorite.
Yeah, that one's really good.
And to see it actually not side by side, but on top of each other, it's just that feeling of like, holy shit.
So my buddies Nico and Sam over at Corridor Digital did this. They ended up doing one with Tom Cruise. They ended up getting a Tom Cruise impersonator. And then do the deep fake on his face. And then they just did another one where like Keanu Reeves is just there and they're in a robbery. And it is it's so funny.
Yes.
Dude.
Oh yeah. The future is bright for that kind of shit.
These are the same guys that did that like Boss Town instead of like the Boston Dynamics, but it was the Boss Town Dynamics and everyone thought it was real.
Yes.
This thing went viral so quick.
I was convinced it was real for the first like fucking however long, like three quarters of the way. I'm like, oh, Dan's showing me this real footage. And then it's like, oh wait, it is a joke. And I was
it's all motion capture. It was crazy.
Oh my God.
They did, it was a phenomenal job. They did really great with it.
Oh, it's only getting better and it's only going to get better. Mm-hmm. I can imagine when anyone, it's the same thing with every technology where it's like, okay, these are the only guys that can produce records in the 80s and 90s. You got a recording studio, you got this, and then eventually now everyone can produce music. And then, oh, well, these guys are the only ones that can produce deep fakes. eventually artificial intelligence will be like, oh, well, anyone can scan anything and make it a deep fake. Snapchat will be that kind of thing. You know, whether it's Snapchat or not, there's always going to be a new innovative.
I'd love to be, you know, like anyone that we could even slightly impersonate. And then all of a sudden just be like, yeah, here, here I am today with, you know, Bill Clinton, Richard Nixon, you know, and just anyone. It'd just be funny.
There's a guy on Instagram called named Kyle Dunnigan, and Joe Rogan's, you know, he's been on Joe Rogan.
I don't
Rogan
even care if it's horrible and it's just typical face swap. It's not even deep fake.
He'll do the Kardashians and he'll be all of them. He'll be all of them like video conferencing together and, oh my God, Kim. And then talking to the, you know, Caitlyn Jenner and all the other ones. But he does them so good because he'll put on the wig and do all this shit, you know, to a certain degree and then just face swap with them, you know. So he's making bits. He's a comedian too. And it's just like, oh my God, he's one of the ones that are just taking advantage of the technology, you know, right. And then editing his Snapchats together and making it, you know, and timing it out where, oh, so and so is going to say this. And then, what is it, Rob Kardashian, the boyfriend or whatever, he comes in, well, yeah, Rob, why are you doing that? And he just does it so good. He's so good at
impersonation. Yeah, that's the thing. You have to have it read at that point, too.
He does Bill Maher super good. You know, he's doing Bill Maher, doing this, doing that. It's just like, holy shit, you know, and just to see what people can do with the technology, you know, that's it. Everyone's taking advantage of it, and you might as well. Why not? You've got the fucking power to go to the moon in your phone or whatever it is. Right. You know how they say. So it's like, you might as well.
50th anniversary of the launch, July 16th.
Yeah. Man, when's crazy. That, tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah,
today's 15th.
So I want to ask you, did we go to the moon? Are we on the moon, bro?
We land on
the moon, bro?
I don't know.
What do you think, bro?
Are there aliens?
Aliens exist, bro?
There's got to be. They just don't want anything to do with us. I wouldn't either.
Probably, right?
I really wouldn't. If I was an alien and I could actually manage to get here, I would look at us way before I would come down and visit. I'd send probes. I would send little things. And then, they're not that cool. They're not that evolved yet. They're still killing each other over God. And they're still killing each other over whose book is right. How evolved can they be if they're still stuck on literature?
Sure.
It's just grunts and groans from a man.
You know, I got something that's kind of funny here. I'm going to run with this for just a moment here. Oh, yeah. But, like, do you know... So everything's going on with this Area 51, the storm Area 51.
Yeah, they're coming.
Yeah. And so, like, I looked 2 million. I looked it up today, and it was 2 million.
So you get at least 100,000, maybe.
Right, maybe. Either way, but this is what's tripping me out. So I was also reading this article about this banker or whatever. His name was Glutzberg, very big NW, No New World Order dude.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how it's easier to kill a million people now than it is to control a million people.
Yes.
And... because it used to be a lot easier,
but
people are waking up, you know, there's a global consciousness that's becoming awake.
Yeah.
Slowly.
We're all connected.
But surely.
We're all connected.
And so then I started thinking, it's like, well, hell, you know, how are you going to just kill a million people and get away with it? Well, if 50% of these motherfuckers show up, you know, they volunteered.
Yes.
I mean, you're showing up to a military base. They're talking about running or doing whatever. It's like, yeah, but the jets that are in the sky with the thermal and the 50 cal or whatever, you know, even if they're pumping them with rubber bullets on, well, whatever, dude.
What they'd
it's
going to
be
do
crazy.
Is cut out the communication feed. You know, if everyone's Facebook Living it, they're going to have to find a way. Like, I know the big speakers that
they already have
people,
that stuff that block, you know, it, and then they have population control through, like, a lot of what's crazy. A lot that frequency that they're experimenting with that is a lot of the 5G frequency.
Yeah.
They can do mind control with that frequency because it's in the millihertz or whatever. It's insane. It's a very tight, densely.
What HAARP is all about. HAARP. Yeah. The HAARP is all about mind control and, like, sending out negative frequencies.
You started that, right?
No, I do not.
Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Gates was, I think that started, I think they even have a HAARP facility in, like, Michigan, man.
There's one in Alaska, I know for sure, and then one up, you know, it's like out of the map.
I don't know, don't back me up on that. I might be completely retarded here, but
in the documentary I watched about it,
I think
it was just sending billions of watts into the ionosphere or whatever.
Ionosphere,
and it's like, okay, and then you're making natural disasters, you know, making hurricanes,
getting weather
Katrina
manipulation
to come
and control,
take out all these people and do this and do that.
Well, it cracks me up. So they're finding all these other things too. I was just talking to someone about climate control, and in this argument, still just cracks me up because it's like, yes or no. It was like, I think my roommate was listening to something on NPR and they were talking about this, and I think they're blaming it on Trump or Trump's ignorance. And, like, yeah, sure, he's ignorant about the thing. I'm not arguing that humans are contributing
to global
it.
Warming.
However,
yes, no.
when there was like no humans and no cars and shit like that, Rapid would change very instantaneously.
The climate still changed.
And exactly.
It was still one continent.
We're going through things. I mean, water rose quickly. Somewhere 10,000 years ago, we had an additional 300 feet of water.
I know all the pollution doesn't help anything, and I know it doesn't hurt anything as much as we think it does, but maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm right, and maybe I don't know. And
then what about the science that's like, you know, it's warming up on Mars? There's no humans on Mars.
Yeah, oh God.
So how does that make any sense?
Oh man, there's some people in jail that were talking about how they thought that we actually came from Mars first. Like he was talking about,
we need to get closer to the Earth.
Yeah, closer to the sun, that kind of shit. I'm like,
I've heard that theory. I mean, there is theories out there that are
Where we moved from that planet to this one, actually, compared to what we think about how we're going to move from this one to that one.
We're going to go back there and we're going to be like,
there's water already
there. Oh, this methane release is all the mass graves that we have.
Yeah, oh yeah, and that... It's a fun thought, but it's still like a flat Earth kind of shit to me, and it's still like people live in the fucking center of the Earth, that kind of theory. You ever heard that one?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, the center of the Earth. And the
9 different species of aliens living on the planet. They got all these crazy caves going on underneath.
It's fun to think
instead
about.
Of going there, let's go to the ultimate conspiracy theory, and that is, did we land on the moon, bro?
I don't know. It looks like we might have, but I don't know why we haven't been back. You know, and I don't know.
That's
why
one of my
not.
Biggest arguments.
If
too,
we're
right?
if we're harvesting this planet for its energy, then why wouldn't we be harvesting? Why that wouldn't for we its be energy?
Even if it was so easy to get to the moon, then 50 years later, why aren't we up there yet again? Mm-hmm. And why is it like taking these privatized companies like SpaceX?
Why is it a one and done?
Right.
Why?
Well, they had sent up a call, well Apollo 13.
Yeah,
and then after that, some funding was cut, and then it was just too expensive.
Oh, yeah, and that would be a good excuse, a good justification.
But when technology is coming down to where you got an iPhone that is the entire Apollo 11 supercomputer that they had.
Yes, that's it.
You know, and we're not up there yet. I mean, like even Israel's like sent up a probe to land on the moon.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, blew into smithereens. I've heard it. Didn't work.
I've heard it from the people that say we can't even escape. We couldn't even make it out of our own atmosphere because it is so powerful and blah, blah, blah. So then they try to prove that there's no way we went to the moon because you couldn't even have the power enough to get out, even though we think we do. And we have, you know, we had the International Space Station and shit like that. And you can see live videos of the planet and blah, 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 where they can get so far out. But at the same time, what if you couldn't? What if there is no way to get to the moon and it is all a crock of shit and you would have to have so much X amount of force and power? And I don't know nothing about this shit. It is just a hearsay.
Well, and why wouldn't you lie about it too? Like if you did it, I mean, it kind of puts you in a position of some sort of global government control. Yep. Hey, we did it. You didn't. You guys suck. We're awesome. Yeah. We're the country of innovation and where things happen.
Our dicks are bigger.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if it's a lie. Even if it's a lie.
Well, did you watch the whole Trump military parade kind of thing?
No, I didn't see
I've seen that on the news because in jail everyone wants to watch cops and they want to watch the news. That
was this on the 4th of July?
I think so. Where it's just like he's looked at North Korea and he's looked at other countries that do big military parades and it's just a dick waving contest. You know, to me, it is a big, here's my dick, here's how big it is, look at me wave it in front of all these patriotic Americans, which I love patriotism. That's awesome. That's great. Be proud of your country wherever you're from. You should love your land, but don't, I don't know. It's just, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about him bringing out all the military tanks and this and that and waving our dicks around? Or do you see it differently?
I think I don't know if it's, here's the thing. I mean, it really depends on where you're going with it, you know? I mean, there's positive and negative there. I think it's great to support our military, and I think it's good to show off, even if it's just for Americans too, just for us to see like, yeah, man, this is crazy. Why do we have like 8 going on like 9 aircraft carrier and, you know, they're, you know, the next leading country or the next leading Navy only has 2.
Yeah. It drops off after 3, you know, it's
just crazy. No, like, 2 is like the next. I mean, 2. We have 9. We have one for every continent and an extra, you know, 2 extra.
Like the fucking, the first biggest military and the second and then the third and then it drops off real big. Like you got us, Russia, and then China and then zoop. Nothing. You know,
so it's almost that show of force. I mean, we are living in some strange times, man. It's scary out there. And I think with Trump in office, it kind of maybe lends itself to be more scary. And if he is like this Kim Jong-un type, you know, where it's like, hey, I need to have a dick measuring contest. I want to prove that mine's bigger. Well, okay, you know, I think that politically and stuff that sucks, but, you know, maybe it's also a show to the other countries that, you know, doubt if we still have it. And I can kind of see both sides, and I can see how polarized in the play, and just, it's just such one of those taboo things.
It's theatrical. It's theatrical to me.
It's like, I just really don't pay attention to it. Like,
oh yeah, that's, but it is that curiosity of, like, there's so many people that do pay attention to it, and it's like,
and it bothers a lot of people.
You know, that's the only reason I'm bringing it up, because I know it is.
They'll go all
topic,
crazy, man.
You know, because it's not about Trump or this, not Trump or Trump. It's about, well, what do you think of the actions of our country as a whole, and blah blah blah. And then, you know, is it good? Is it bad? Are we, you know, I don't know. I feel both ways, where it's like, yeah, patriotism, support the troops, support this, but what are we really supporting? And are we just killing a bunch of brown people in a bunch of other countries? That's really it. And then we're detaining a bunch of brown people at the Mexican border.
Right.
That's another fucking horrendous thing. That being
the
in
immigration
jail,
thing is really kind of weird. You know, I hate the argument. I hate everything that's going on. That's the problem that pisses me off with it. Is the only thing that I've been hoping with this whole wall discussion is that we just realize that maybe the wall is absurd. Maybe what we should do is just follow the laws that we have.
That's the hard
if
part.
We can agree that, hey, if they come across the border in the proper channels and they want, you know, they want basically solace, sanctuary from their country, you know,
that's
like, and
where
to come
we're
detaining
here. Children right now, though, and that's the problem.
But that's because they're coming over illegally. They're not coming over legally.
That's, yes, and that's it, too, but then it's also...
They give you, like, 6 months to you know, start figuring and lay your groundwork if you come in appropriately. It's not like...
I have compassion, and it's hard, because I have compassion for these people because they're being locked in cages, whether it's adults or children or whatever. You got humans locked in cages, all bound up together.
But here's the thing, man.
And they came over illegally, though, so
exactly.
They're breaking the law.
So they have to,
and
it's not like they don't know. I mean, it's just like you. It's just like not paying child support. It's like, you're okay, well, you're in the can now. Why? Because you fucked up. You did something you weren't supposed to do.
Imagine
they're pretending that they didn't. I know, but imagine that. The thing is imagine your life sucks. The point is what? They're
trying to get better for your family and your
friends.
They're
hoping. They're taking the risk. They figured their life sucks enough for them to take the risk. And not only that it sucks enough for them to take a risk to do it illegally, when they could have done it legally, they could have still came across and been like, I need sanctuary for my country. And they come in and they want to, you know, they want to do it the right way. And a lot of them do. And that's just the way it should be.
Well, I just watched a video today of a guy begging to stay in jail in the detention center because he knew once he got deported, he was going to get killed.
Well, here's the thing. When you're in other countries, would you, like, if you're an American and you end up trying to live in another country.
Oh, yeah, and those are the facts. Those are the hard facts of life, and I completely agree with everything you're saying, too. I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate on both sides because there is that Republican view. There is a Democratic view.
I don't even, how is that view? Like, to me, like, this is just like, how can it be Republican or Democrat instead of just like, well, this
about,
is the law.
I'm talking about them, not really us.
Right.
Know?
But like, this
really,
is the law. Well, so am I.
That's it though. That is the law. And that's where it's such a torn situation for me mentally and as a human. Because as a human, I know we're all on this planet together. Countries are illusory borders. Countries
for
are
sure.
All illusory. So are states. They're just lines drawn on a map that don't represent anything but the illusion that we give them and the power we give the illusion. But then, yes, there's laws. Which
I was like, if I could do it, it's like I am human and from Earth.
Yeah, here you go. I'm from planet Earth.
Said, dude. Well,
but then you sound like the globalist, where it's like, oh, we're just one planet. You know, and ours sound like that, too, because it is a global economy with the internet. But at the same time...
Hey, man, you want to talk about New World Order? We want to talk about off in a million people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that, hey, Area 51 goes down. We got a million people show up.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? You're going to easily kill a million people, have full disclosure. And let's just say we find aliens, too, though. So a million people are dead. We discover aliens exist or technology exists. Proof that there's life beyond this planet, right?
Oh, yeah. And would it fuck us up?
Well, no, because now we have a common enemy. So this is all working in the New World Order's right into their hand, man.
It's all part of the script almost, it sounds like. Or it could be. You know, it's like, well, we get this, then we get that, and then this is all for show, so we can get people's attention away from border situations and away from this.
Away from whatever, because that's the thing. It is the Area 51 thing is obviously one, they're promoting it like nonstop, and it's crazy. I mean, the memes, I mean, sure, there's the meme pool. I mean, this thing might have started off as a joke. You know, Joe Rogan even said that he feels partially responsible for this, you know, and it's funny that if they listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, then they should know that they should be charging S4, not Area 51.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 11 miles down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of it is it's like, what are they distracting us from now?
Yeah.
What
the
is
globalist pedophile they are network, the Elks don't, you know.
All right, Mark. You know. All right, Zuck.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Hey, buddy. Can, you know, shit's getting hot over here. Can you just, like, come up with something? All right, dude, I got a think tank that says, you know, creating this event.
Yep, the percentage rate on this.
It's Joe Rogan's talk with Bob Lazar's trending. What can we do with this?
Yes, that's it. Oh, fuck yeah. And that. It's crazy because I don't like to get too conspiracy theory, but then, hey, it's kind of crazy. It could all be just pulling the strings and the puppets do this and the puppets do that and who's a puppet, who's not, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, holy fuck, man. That's when I go right back to family, freedom. Okay, I'm good. Yeah.
Family and freedom, man.
That's the fucking priority for me.
And it's the best place to stop it, too, man. Mm-hmm. Dude, I can't believe. I know it's a little early. I got it. My teeth are floating, though. So.
Oh, yeah. My teeth are fucking hurting. I need more bourbon.
But, dude, I'm glad that you made it out. I'm glad that you're not stuck in there until, you know, freaking fall.
Yeah,
and,
God, to miss the whole summer would have been fucking tormenting.
I know. We just had that conversation before you went in there, too.
I know,
like,
it's all,
the week before, we were talking about, like, hey, just don't let
the summer
go to waste.
Don't, and then, boom.
It's like, oh, damn.
Yeah, so
it's good, though. It turned it up for me, too, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad to be out, and I'm glad you had me, and I'll be coming back. Keep coming back.
Keep coming back, man.
That's it.
All right, guys. You know, check him out at Elmer's World and all that fun stuff. And
Finding
of course,
Lost, so like,
make sure you're clicking subscribe.
Like, share, subscribe. Everything. God damn it.
It all. All right, man.
Okay. Peace out.
Rock and roll.
Later.
Bye.
Don't forget to click that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. You can also follow me on any of these social media outlets at FindingLostWDC or visit FindingLostWDC.com for the latest adventure updates. Thanks again for watching, and I'll see you next time on Finding Lost.